Welcome to CCTA Wake Up Call. This is the normal group that you're going to hear us on Saturday morning at 6 a.m. on 107.1, again Sunday at 11 a.m., 107.1, and 8 p.m., 107.1 on Sunday. And again, welcome. I'm Bob Griswold.
Mary Griswold.
Alan Harrop.
And Glenn Fink.
I want to start off, we are recording this in advance. It's a pre-recorded show. It's Wednesday, and the vote has not yet taken place in the House on the debt ceiling package. So we're going to go over some of the pros and cons and discussion of the debt ceiling package. And I'm going to start with a comment by Hugh Hewitt. And Hugh Hewitt is basically I would call him a Republican who leans a little bit to the right, and his comment was that it was a good deal for the Republicans. Number one, McCarthy prevented any tax hikes or revenue enhancements, as they're called, and the spending, although it has not been cut as much as we want it to, there are a number of things in there that will limit the runaway spending that we have been subject to in recent years.
Yes, I just wanted to respond to what you said, Mary, about the debt thing. And I think the negotiation, like any negotiation, has its advantages, pros and cons. A lot of people, including myself, don't believe they went far enough. There were some give and take. We got a few things, so it was better than had we done nothing. On the other hand, I think we could have pushed the negotiations further. They keep talking about June 5th. Well, first it was June 1st is the deadline. Then it's June 5th is the deadline. I think we should have pushed it to the limit just from a negotiation standpoint.
It's interesting that you say that, because the polling showed, I don't know whose poll it was, but a recent poll showed that if we defaulted, the blame was going to go on the Democrats and not on the Republicans. In the past, when the government has shut down because of this discussion, the blame has gone to the Republicans. So in that sense, the Biden administration was somewhat backed into a corner. But you still have the Democrats controlling two-thirds of the government, and the conservatives in the remaining third are not in the majority. So I think that's a problem. I think if we really want to see the spending under control, we've got to elect people who don't want runaway spending, because in the past, the Republicans, many of them, have been no better than the Democrats on the spending issue.
But you know, when we say that we have the spending, or at least put in some spending limits, how well has the Biden administration followed spending limits? Well, have they ever followed spending limits?
Well, I'd like to speak to that, but I'd also say that I think this default deadline is all bogus. Mm-hmm. We know they can manipulate money for periods of time, and if we have to send some people home for a while, they get paid. All that, none of that was built into the discussion, because we know that we weren't going to default.
It's political theater.
So that's, I guess that's one thing. And it sure depends on who you listen to, how good or bad of a deal it is, which is kind of in the context that's already been stated. But, you know, I guess a few things on that. One is the fact that they start talking about this is a reduction against past year spending, and this has never happened. And when you compare it to a bloated two-year spend in a COVID period, mm-hmm. where we spent an extra, I think, $5 trillion, that just infuriates me. Because they act like it's some landmark push. And
it's not.
And it's not. And the other thing is, again, I haven't read the bill, but are these targets or are these true restrictions? Because I've heard the term this doesn't have restrictions. It's got like ideas or targets versus true restrictions. So I don't know that we can say what's true or false about that, but if it is just targets and it doesn't have any teeth to it, then I don't like it.
There's also a rule that says a sitting Congress cannot dictate the actions of the following Congress. And this Congress is going to sit for 2 more years. So I wonder about that, too. The other part of it, too, is my understanding is that the unspent COVID money is coming back, that's part of the deal, too. The COVID money that was given out to the states and stuff but not spent is coming back. And that would be a very nice thing. The other part of it, too, is this pipeline in West Virginia.
Well, before we jump to the pipeline,
okay, go ahead.
I maybe this is more in line with what some of the stuff that you were talking about. Now I lost my train of thought.
Well, I'll pick it up, and then maybe your train of thought will come back.
Sorry.
Maybe I'll throw that in, and I lost it. Maybe I'll hijack your train.
Yeah.
But you cannot have a solution to this problem without pain.
Mm-hmm.
It's impossible. At some point, there's going to be pain. The more this is put off and delayed, the greater the pain is going to be. This right now is only the second time in the history of this country where our national debt exceeded our gross national product.
Mm-hmm.
The only other time that occurred was during World War II, which we'll have to all admit that was a crisis circumstance. This is the only time it's ever happened in, quote, peacetime, unquote. And the growth of the spending is just astronomical. I went back and looked at the 10-year increases in the national debt since 1990. Between 1990 and the year 2000, that 10-year period, the national debt went up $2.4 trillion, $2.4 trillion. Between 2000 and 2010, it went up $7 trillion.
Now, do your numbers tell you, I would think the big jump was 2008 during the banking crisis?
Well, these are just 10-year periods,
okay,
what was going on. But you'll see the trend. There may have been ripples in between, but the point is, for example, between 2000 and 2020, went up $14
trillion. Wow.
And between 2020, and if you project the 2030, the next 10-year period, it'll go up $18 trillion. So you're talking about four decades ago, it was $2.4 trillion increase per 10-year period. Now we're up to almost $20 trillion in a 10-year period. That is unsustainable.
I want to go back to that 90 to 2000 period, okay? And I remember that now I'm trying to think of the Newt Gingrich Congress, mm-hmm, forced a balanced budget on
Bill Clinton.
So in that period, I mean, when it went up $2 trillion, within there, they did have a balanced budget one year.
Which proves that it can be done. It wasn't continued.
No.
Because the subsequent administrations did not have the commitment that Gingrich had, his contract with America.
Yes.
But it can be done, but it can't be done without pain. You cannot keep spending like this. But we all know that right now, the party in power, they see no limit. They don't want a limit. They want to spend as much as they want, and the Republicans are at a disadvantage because they only have, you know, one part of the government, one third, and a very small majority.
And not all Republicans are fiscal conservatives. I want to mention one more thing about what you're saying. This type of spending has a lot to do with causing the inflation that we're experiencing. But the inflation is to their benefit because as inflation goes up and dollars are worth less, it's easier for them to pay back the debt because the debt has not inflated at the same rate that the value of the dollar has decreased. So that's another aspect.
Yeah. What I lost my train of thought on was the IRS agents. And you know, we totally failed in that area from my perspective, because I think it was a $1.4 billion mm-hmm. reduction against an $80 billion.
1.9.
Yeah. So it's less than 2% reduction in that. The other area that is disappointing, and I know we got some work requirements, but on the Medicaid work requirements were lost. And I know in negotiation you lose a lot of things, but you don't win everything. I'm disappointed in where it seems to be, but I understand where we're likely to go.
I think I want to go back to this pipeline in West Virginia. If you remember, with the Inflation Reduction Act, which was not what it was, but that's what it was named, that Joe Manchin was promised a change in the regulatory process in exchange for his vote. And after he voted, the Democrats reneged on that change. I believe that change is in this bill, and that pipeline that has been stalled has been finally approved. And like it or not, pipelines are the safest way to transport oil through the country. They're safer than trains. They're safer than trucks. So the environmentalists, if they were true environmentalists, would not be fighting pipelines.
It's a war on fossil fuels in general.
Yes.
Any way they can impede it, they're going to try to do that. And I heard it's a fairly short distance that they have to complete, but I'm sure there's more to the story than that. But I'm pleased that that got in there, not just for Manchin, but because it's a step in the right direction of pushing back.
Yes.
I agree, and we're all bated breath waiting to see if it will again get thrown aside or
not.
Yeah,
let's see if this actually happens.
Let's see if this. Folks, let's take a break and listen to our sponsors for a few minutes. And again, thank you for supporting them. I ask you to go and visit them. Thank you.
Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call Charles Grover at 252-637-2399 or stop by the shop on 17 South in New Bern. Torque can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they can rebuild your transmission if that's what you prefer. See Torque for a variety of minor automotive repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pump. You can count on Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair.
For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
The God and Country Christian Alliance has a simple mission, but it is a profound one. They want to inform and educate the public on issues of moral and political concern. They want to restore the Judeo-Christian values upon which this nation was founded to all levels of government. And they want to encourage and activate pro-family voters. Simple, but not easy. The God and Country Christian Alliance meets the third Monday of every month at Moore's Barbecue on MLK in New Bern. Meetings begin promptly at 7 p.m. and end by 8:30. To enjoy dinner with the group before the meeting, arrive between 6 and 6:30. Both the food and the company are good. Meetings include speakers and discussion, and their annual banquets are legendary. Join them on the third Monday of each month for a refreshingly candid view of the world and our place in it.
Just who are these people doing this CCTA program? They're people like you, a photographer, someone that ran their own business, someone retired from the military, just people in the community that love this country and have a desire to do their part to lower taxes and shrink government, to protect individual liberty, and to preserve the U.S. Constitution and free enterprise system. We welcome you to come out to a meeting. If you like what you see and hear, there's a place where you can contribute to the cause. To learn more, go to cctaxpayers.com. That's cctaxpayers.com. The group meets every third Tuesday at Stanley Hall Ballroom in downtown New Bern to enjoy a fantastic speaker and report on CCTA activity since the last meeting. If you've been disappointed with rising taxes and government intrusion, don't just complain. Join Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association and make your voice heard.
Just one other thought about the pipeline that we were discussing. I think a lot of these projects take so long to get accomplished because of all the bureaucratic red tape. Now, I have to congratulate Trump. If you remember when he was in office, he, for all the federal agencies, he said, if you add one new regulation, you have to delete two regulations. Mm-hmm. And, for example, the pipeline. This is the agencies that had to approve it. The U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife, the Environmental Protection Agency, the U.S. Forest Service, the Bureau of Land Management. They all had to do their independent reviews and approve it, and then it's subject to delays from lawsuits by the Green Movement, and they tie it up in courts. It's a wonder anything gets done now. Like, for example, there hasn't been a new oil refinery built in this country since 1977. There hasn't been a new power plant since 1996.
Yeah.
So we just can't get anything done because of all the red tape. And where's it coming from? The federal bureaucracies.
The problem, too, this winter in North Carolina, we had power brownouts. We have never had power brownouts before. And part of those power brownouts had to do with this insane move away from fossil fuels. Now, natural gas is a fossil fuel, but it is a very clean burning fossil fuel and does not significantly create a problem. But this whole mindset that anything that is fossil fuel burning is going to create global warming and the oceans are going to rise and all that stuff, you notice that a lot of these people complaining that we're warming the planet and the oceans are going to rise have beachfront homes. Now, that kind of indicates to me they might not believe what they're preaching.
Mm-hmm. You know, you're talking about the agencies that have to approve to get this new power plant or whatever else. If you look at right now the problem with the whales, I mean, you look at the whales, the number of whales that have washed up on shore, we're trying to, and we know we have friends that are involved in this, trying to find out how do you stop the wind-generating plants from doing their ocean depth the soundings or whatever, which apparently are disorienting the whales or whatever else. Here, it's the exact opposite. The agencies are doing something in spite of the public trying to stop it, as opposed to trying to do something and the agencies stopping you. So it's we've flipped the coin to the wrong side.
Well, how many bald eagles have wind farms killed? Unfortunately, wind farms and solar farms are a problem. Solar farms for smaller birds, because the temperatures, when they fly over them, they get instantly cooked.
Gene, unfortunately, like Bob was saying, the agencies are on this. I've taken a political position. They're not neutral anymore. So they hide information that's detrimental to this issue about the windmills, the solar. You don't hear that. You don't hear bird counts, dead birds being found. They hide all that. And then what people hear is just what they want you to hear.
The narrative.
The narrative, you know.
Yes.
It's a craziness. I'm going to bring up something again on the debt. Going way back, my wife and I, Mary, and what I'm going to say, and this may sound sadistic, celebrated when our daughters maxed out their credit cards when they first went away to college. Now, why were we celebrating? Because what they found was that there was a limit to the amount of money that they had, and that there came a time that they had to pay back what they, you know, what they had incurred as a advanced credit. They had to pay it back. They learned some kind of financial responsibilities. Our country has not yet learned that. Well, they did know it. They have since forgotten it. But
we need to put a limit on their credit card.
There used to be a time, Bob, when people actually wrote checks, and you would balance your checkbook, and you would determine how much money you had left to spend. That's not even done anymore. The credit cards have, you know, they're just like an unending supply of fake money, and people just use it until they go broke. And then the credit card companies, they get what, 20, 22% interest now?
Oh, that's crazy, yeah.
I mean, I haven't paid interest on a credit card in years. I use it, but I haven't paid any
Some of our younger generation has never written a check. They may own a bank account, but all their transactions are done electronically. They don't write checks anymore. They just do it electronically. Now, I'm not that brave, but I remember a time when if you wanted to take money out of your bank account, your checking account, you went into the bank and you wrote a check and you took the money out. When was the last time any of us were in the lobby of a bank?
You know, it's funny, and we've greatly gone off topic, and I love going off topic. But we have a friend who, a young child, is looking for a good baseball player and looking to sign a contract and talk to his parents about how afraid he was to sign a contract because he did not know how to sign his name in script. Okay, and he had to learn. I'm going through schools or whatever else. Senior in high school. How do you sign? How do you not sign your name in script? All you know is to punch your code in on a debit card or a credit card, but not know how to sign your name.
Okay, to wander to a totally new topic, we're going to talk for a minute about overregulation and the impact it has on us as consumers. And there's, unfortunately, I didn't write down my source on this article. Did anybody print it out with the source? This was written by a man who had a house with a large wooden deck, and he found an oil deck stain that he loved work. Okay, this is from American Thinker. That he loved working with and did a good job. And one year he went to find it, and he couldn't find it. So he tried something else, and it was awful, and it didn't do the job, and it peeled, and it just wasn't good. It wasn't easy, it wasn't fun, and it didn't do a good job. So he started investigating, and he learned that there was an effort by the, I would say, radical environmentalists to ban real oil deck stains on the state level. And manufacturers had to either change their formulas or make their products available in fewer states. Well, the fact that the product was going to be available in fewer states impacted the profitability of manufacturing the product. So they just stopped making it. And this poor guy could not get a good stain. Now, he was given options. He could have replaced the deck with a composite decking, which would have held up very well. He could have put in concrete. He could have done a lot of things, spending thousands of dollars to fix a problem that shouldn't have been there. And the article talks about the fact that these regulations are not put in place by people we vote for. They're not accountable. They're put in place through agencies. And he gives the example of ethanol. Ethanol is not good for car engines. Yet if you want to get gasoline without ethanol, you're going to pay a whole lot more for it. And it is not environmentally friendly. And then he talked about shower heads. And he talked about, remember when your dishwasher used to only take about a half hour? That's federal regulation. And the whole thing, And it's just, we're not electing the people that make our laws. The people who make our laws are this unelected bureaucracy running around Washington, D.C.
Well, this country was founded on freedom. And we fought the Revolutionary War because of what we felt was tyranny from the British monarchy. And that tyranny had to do, with, of course, with unfair taxing and other regulations and burdens that we had no input into, and which is exactly what's happening now. We don't have input into these bureaucratic requirements that are coming out of Washington, these federal agencies. And as you said, they're not elected officials. But the other thing is they are curtailing our freedom. Let me give you a personal example. I happen to have a diesel truck that I use to pull my camper. Diesel trucks, since 2012, have to have what they call a DEF, or Diesel Exhaust Fluid System. Okay. It's supposed to help clean the emissions. Okay, I'm all for clean emissions. But what the government did in this system is they required that if you run low on fluid or if there's a problem with that system, it shuts your engine down.
Oh.
You're driving along and you get a notice on your dashboard that you have so many more miles to go. And if this is not repaired within that mile period, it's usually about like 150 miles, the truck will go down to 5 miles per hour. And that's as fast as it will go.
Wow.
5 miles, which means you cannot be on a road because you would be causing accidents. There's no road you could drive 5 miles an hour on. And this is something that, again, we're getting our freedom of movement is being curtailed because some bureaucrat decided that they were going to enforce this by restricting your access to your own vehicle. That's what they're doing.
That's crazy.
We need to take a break, I know.
Oh, but you have more to the story, I think.
We're coming back with more of this.
Hold on.
Yes, we are coming back with more of this.
Take a quick break.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition of the Moore's family for over 70 years. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked to order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week in New Bern, Winterville, Moorhead City, Swansboro, and Jacksonville. Moore's will cater and deliver anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
County Compass is a rapidly growing, free, weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news. Coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Since 1952,
The North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern. For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
Welcome back, Alan.
Yeah, just to follow up the story, Bob, about this DEF system and how it's curtailing our freedom. And it prevents you from using your own vehicle when you violate what the bureaucrat says is the standard in which they want you to behave. That's what it boils down to. And when this happened to my truck about a week ago, I thought, well, I would buy the parts that were needed. So I took it to the dealer because the sign on the dashboard says, this should be taken to the dealer as soon as possible. Okay, I took it to the dealer. And I walked in, I explained to the lady in the maintenance section, I said, well, I'm having a problem with this system. And she said, okay, well, we'll look at it and give you an estimate. And so I'm thinking, you know, $500, $600 in that ballpark. So they called me back later in the day, it's $3,000.
Oh my gosh.
To fix this system. And they had to replace everything in the system, all the components. It has a pump, a hose, an ejector, a couple of sensors. They have to replace everything or nothing. Then I started thinking, well, isn't that convenient? Why? This is why the corporations don't complain about these controls. Because I tried to contact other sources of parts, like CarQuest, like NAPA, like AutoZone. None of them could get the parts.
Wow.
They were not available. You had to go through the dealer.
Oh.
And the dealer could charge whatever they wanted. So the bureaucrats put in this ridiculous restriction. The corporation or the manufacturer is the only one that can profit from it, and handsomely so at $3,000. For this repair.
Per shot, yes.
And you can't do it yourself because you can't get the parts.
Wow.
So it's the kind of cahoots that makes you, you know, I'm not a total conspiracy nut, but this made me very suspicious of the connection between big corporations and big government.
Well, you know, also with the diesel thing, you're not allowed to run home diesel. You can't run red fuel in your truck. You know, for the folks that heat their homes with the diesel, I mean, it's diesel, but it's dyed with a red
yeah,
tint.
If they find
that in your truck or whatever else, you're using non-road taxed fuel.
Right, yeah. That's true.
Even though it's the same fuel.
Yeah, right.
Well, a part of what you just shared ends up continuing to amp up the war against fossil fuels because all that costs money, even though there's a profit in there for the people that are involved. But it all increases the price of operating that stuff, which again, by comparison, makes the chosen fuel of the green more attractive, or at least it starts moving in that direction. And we didn't mention about the gas stove phenomena earlier mm-hmm. when you were talking about how things got regulated. But again, it's a regulation that reduces our choices, but it also is a double win for them because it also is a war against fossil fuels.
Well, there was also a debate going on, and I believe it was Ford Motor Company. It might have been one of the other companies. They were going to put some electronics in their cars that if you missed your car payment and you got into the car was going to drive you to the bank. And it got voted down, thank goodness. But I mean, how ridiculous, and there is, I have heard, I can't confirm this, that there is a kill switch in the newer cars, that if you're doing something you shouldn't be and you're involved in a police chase, they can turn off your car. Now, I understand that under certain circumstances that might be useful, but I still think it's a horrible invasion of our rights.
Well, if they can shut down my diesel truck by saying to me, you only have another 150 miles and your truck's going down to 5 miles, they can do the same thing with limiting how many miles you can drive. Let's say, for example, they don't want you driving more than 300 miles in any direction. So they put a limit on it. That's as far as it goes, and your car shuts down. You know, and it's like this, there's no end to how they can proceed with restricting us if we allow it. It's like they haven't come out and said, so far, we will not produce anything but electric vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
But what they're doing is they're coming up with emission standards that are so strict that the automobile manufacturers will not be able to meet those standards mm-hmm. using gasoline or, God forbid, diesel-powered engines. So they're not outright banning it, but they're making the regulations so restrictive. And that is tyranny of the bureaucracy.
There are cities in Britain right now that are called 15-minute cities. And the city is divided into areas. And theoretically, you can get anywhere within your area in 15 minutes. If you choose to leave your area, you have to get permission. And if you are caught outside your area, you are subject to fines, arrest, and whatever. Now, America is a nation that loves its cars and its trucks. We have not responded well to the attempt to put ridiculous fuel standards. People are still buying SUVs. People are still buying trucks. They have not been successful. So it remains to be seen. Excuse me. It remains to be seen how successful they will be in their efforts to further curtail Americans and their cars, because we are in love with our cars.
Well, I'm just going to say that I know that the curtailment is alive and well. Ask any golfer. If you go on to certain golf courses, their vehicles, you know, the golf carts are all GPS controlled. You cannot drive it off the course. You cannot drive it. I don't think you can drive it onto the green either. And the GPS control says, here's where you're allowed to drive it on this course, and it's not going anywhere else. Sure. So the control is already there. It's just who can we? I'm going to get us banned from Facebook or whatever. Who can we beat up? Get these controls taken away.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that's what it's coming down to. It's how much tyranny are we going to put up with? When is it going to reach the breaking point? I mean, we can hopefully deal with it through elections, electing the proper people. And I think that we've had, you know, in the case of certain politicians, they will fight this. But without that, it's going to come down to taking other measures, or your freedom is going to be completely curtailed. I mean, if anybody has any notion of how bad this can get, they should go back to reading 1984 mm-hmm. by George Orwell. And he wrote that before all these things were possible that we're describing. Mm-hmm. You can imagine what controls they'd have if that book were updated with current technology.
I believe he wrote it in
1947,
I think.
Yeah.
40s.
You know, another quick one. Now, what we're talking about now, is this federal overreach or state overreach or everybody's
both.
Overreach? Because again, it's not like our law. It's not our lawmakers that are doing this. It's that they've ceded their power. They're ceded it to agencies. Or
my answer to that question, Bob, I think it's primarily coming from the federal bureaucracies. Now, I'm not saying there aren't state bureaucracies that are going along with it and supporting it and maybe coming up with their own, but the lion's share of this stuff seems to be coming out of the federal agencies, some of which I just enumerated a few minutes ago.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That's where it's coming from. We give the power to these people, and then they run with it.
Well,
give them an inch, and they'll take a mile.
The other part of it, too, is that if you're in Congress and you're a wimp, these agencies are helping you because you don't have to take a stand on anything. You don't have to be the one behind the bill that limits whatever. Oh, no, I didn't do that. An agency did that.
I'm going to add that, again, we have a nephew and his wife that moved down here from New York, and they were just sort of looking back at New York, that he had worked working many different locations within New York City. But in New York City now, if you try to drive your car below, and I don't remember what street it is.
I think it's 84th, but
I'm not sure.
It's
like 84th Street. You're charged like a $50 tag fee.
Congestion fee.
Congestion fee for that day. Mm-hmm. Now, how do you work and pay that every day, that congestion fee? And now, again, yes, we have federal, we've got state. It's all overreach.
It could be both, yeah.
Well, and I do think it's both. I can't think of great examples, but I mean, state EPA is what checks industry. Now, they've got federal connections, and there's some things that are consistent. But if you think about all these regulations that California's putting in place, those are state.
Yeah.
So I think the states can overreach in a big way. And I can't say it feels like North Carolina is, and it may be more federal for us, but both of them can come after us.
The other part, too, is federal money plays a role in this. When you look at the money that the federal government hands to the states, for instance, in education, that money has strings attached to it that would hold up a suspension bridge. I mean, money is control. And if they can get you hooked on the money that they're giving your state for education or something else, they can control more of your actions and what you do.
And what a scheme that was. They bribe us with our own money. We pay taxes to the federal government, and they're going to pass it out to somebody.
Yeah.
So everybody wants to get their share, even if it's for something they're not all that interested in.
Yeah.
Instead of saying, I'm going to pass.
Can
you know,
I have my
even
money
your
back?
Local politicians will say, well, if we don't take it, the folks up the road will. So, you know, the scheme of how the federal government bribes us with our own money and we won't refuse it is really amazing to me.
And the amazing statement that you occasionally hear by government local officials, well, it doesn't cost the taxpayers anything. It's a grant from the federal government. Where do they think the federal government gets its money?
Yeah. More to come in a few minutes. Again, thank you for staying with us.
Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call Charles Grover at 252-637-2399 or stop by the shop on 17 South in New Bern. Torque can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they can rebuild your transmission if that's what you prefer. See Torque for a variety of minor automotive repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pump. You can count on Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair.
Hey folks, here's a tip. When you think firearms and ammo, think East 70 Palm. They've been on Highway 70 east of New Bern across from the fairgrounds for 31 years. Drew Preston and his staff know firearms. Gun sales have tripled in under a year, and women shooters are the fastest growing part of their business. Their great inventory, over 300 guns in stock, changes daily. And if you want something they don't have, they'll look for it. New and used, rifles, shotguns, and pistols, buy, sell, or trade. And they also have many holsters, scopes, and other gun accessories. Every member of the staff is deeply knowledgeable, and every one of them is an excellent shooter. So don't just come for the inventory, come for the thoughtful advice. East 70 Palm, your home for firearms, ammo, and answers. Highway 70 East, New Bern, across from the fairgrounds.
For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition of the Moore's family for over 70 years. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked to order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week in New Bern, Winterville, Moorhead City, Swansboro, and Jacksonville. Moore's will cater and deliver anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, If it's not Moore's, it's less.
Welcome back again, Mary.
Before I say what I'm going to say, I want to remind everyone that CC Tax, Coastal Carolina Taxpayers, is a 501c3. We do not support individual candidates. We support principles. But we try to inform the public about what is going on with candidates, either above the fold and below the fold. And I just want to point out that recently on my Facebook page, I came across a group called Republican Accountability PAC. And I did a little research, and their post said something about we need to move beyond Trump. So I did a little research, and I found out that they are funded by Bill Kristol, who is a known anti-Trump person, and a lot of dark money from Democrat campaigns. I did a little more research about where their money comes from and where it goes. If you'll pardon the plug, that article will be up on Right Wing Granny on Thursday, June 1st, and all the details will be there. But I bring that up because there was an article from the American Thinker about the complaints that President Trump should not run in 2024 because he has too much baggage. And Victor Davis Hanson, who is a known writer and political pundit, wrote an article for America, or was quoted in an article in American Thinker, about some of the baggage that Trump doesn't have, that some of the other people that have run have. I'm just going to read off a few things. Trump did not violate federal law, as did Hillary Clinton, by destroying federally subpoenaed emails and devices in order to hide evidence. He did not send classified government communications over a private server. He did not hire a foreign national who is prohibited from working on a presidential campaign to compile a dossier to smear his political opponent. He did not hide his payments, as Hillary Clinton did, to Christopher Steele through bookkeeping deceptions. And it goes on about Bill Clinton and some of his honorariums, and Obama's statement that he would be more flexible to a Russian president, I believe, that he would be more flexible after the election. I mean, before we start, and it also mentions that Joe Biden boasted at one point that he withheld aid to Ukraine until they stopped an investigation that was getting a little bit too close to his family corruption. So I'm just saying, before we throw stones at President Trump, maybe we ought to look at some of the other candidates. That is my comment on that.
And I think, Mary, you're making a very valid point. First of all, there are no perfect people, okay? Let's set that aside. You're not going to find any candidate that you like all the time or that you agree with all the time. The question then becomes, what issues are the most important? And you can't weigh them all the same. For example, if a particular candidate is going to be strong on the defense of the country, but that same candidate is perhaps not so strong on their personality, or maybe they're abrasive or something like that, those two issues should not be given the same weight. And you can, because one issue, the defense of the country, is critical, and that's part of his job. How he approaches it, or how, what his personality issues are, to me, is way down the scale. And, you know, to me, if you're choosing a presidential candidate, I think you need to look at, do they believe in the principles, and will they defend the Constitution? That's the first thing. Second thing is, will they defend and do they understand the free enterprise system that made this country great? And those are two issues. And the third issue, are they likely to be corrupted by other people? One thing about somebody like Trump, he's not going to be bought out by somebody.
No.
He's not going to sell his soul for millions of dollars like the Clintons have done, like the Bidens have done. He doesn't need that. So those are some of the factors. There's others, obviously, but those are some of the things that I think you should look at in choosing a president.
Well, also when you look at somebody in the executive office, and just like in a corporation, the executives have to prioritize various things. They're working with limited resources, and they prioritize various things. And from the private enterprise, from private government, private not government, executives make their decisions and they weigh the risk reward. Am I willing to risk something for the reward there? If we look at government the way that it's traditionally run, they don't ever worry about risk because there's no penalty for failure in a government, in a government project. Where government projects, we will waste our money doing this, and then you know what? We're going to waste the money doing the exact opposite because we overdid this. Well, now we're going to do the exact opposite. And somebody coming from private industry, a successful private businessman, knows how to run better. I think folks that have gone through the political school of government, I guess they call it in the colleges, the school of government, you don't understand risk versus reward. You don't understand the potential of failure.
Well, Bud Light sure understands it now.
They've been read a new Ryan.
But yes. like you say, Bob, it's a matter of appreciating it, and it's also a matter of understanding how essential the survival of this country is to the free enterprise system. Because we are faced with free enterprise versus Marxism. That's what we're dealing with. And that's what you and if you believe, if you select someone who's not definitive on that issue, you're making a big mistake. And one of the things that a president like Trump would have, one advantage he would have, several, I believe, but he's been there and he's done that. Now, you could elect somebody else, and they might say all the right things, but you don't know until they get into the job how they're going to perform. There's a lot of people who sound good, they make good promises, but when the rubber hits the road, they're not there. And one thing about President Trump, he's been there, he knows with the opposition, and he has fought it tooth and nail, and he does not back away from something that he believes is important for this country, like the border wall, like immigration. He came out the other day with reinforcing something he had talked before about ending chain migration.
Mm-hmm.
And that should have been ended years ago. But what other politician have you heard in your lifetime that came out and said a child born to somebody in this country is not automatically a citizen? Which doesn't happen in any other country.
By the way, also add in energy self-sufficiency.
Right.
Another thing, when you talk about the slide toward Marxism, part of that has to do with the history that's not taught in our schools. Both Jamestown and Plymouth were started by the same charter company under the agreement when they got to the New World, they would set up a true communist state where every man would be given what he needed regardless of what he earned. In both cases, that failed. After the pilgrims almost starved to death, their leader said, "This is ridiculous," and he gave each pilgrim a plot of land and said, "You are free to barter with your neighbors, grow what you will, and barter with your neighbors." And all of a sudden, all the people that couldn't be in the field because they had a backache or they were sick or whatever, all of a sudden, because it was their land, they were out working in the field. And that's how free enterprise works. The people who do the work get the reward. And we have wandered away from that, and it is a serious problem.
And you know, it gets back to what the Republicans have been trying to do in this debt negotiation, is to reinstitute what Newt Gingrich started in the mid-1990s about the work requirement. all right, if you're going to get welfare or you're going to get Medicaid or you're going to get a benefit, you must be willing to work to get that. And there's a lot of people don't. They're just content to sit home. And the rewards, the total amount of money you can get, if you add up all the social programs, it's no wonder a lot of people are not, we've taken away the incentive to work. Human beings being what they are, human nature being what it is, if you can get something for nothing, you're going to take that over something you have to work for.
Also, by encouraging them or requiring them to work, they are getting their foot into the workforce. And the only way you're going to ever get promoted or get ahead in the workforce is to get in there to begin with.
Yeah.
And that's part of encouraging that.
Yeah, and you know, as we were talking about Marxism a few minutes ago, if you read Das Kapital by Marx, what you find is that the whole concept had to do with increasing taxation, the government getting more control of the money. That's why people who are supporting government spending, they do it for the power.
Mm-hmm.
If they have the resources, they can then dole them out, and they become the power. You become their slaves. You know, we talk about, you know, being anti-slavery. There's nothing more seductive and enslaving than a government that has tax money from everybody else and gives it to selectively to whomever they want.
No, those selected people will do whatever you want to continue to get
vote,
that money.
Vote whatever, whichever direction they want.
Before we move on to the next topic, I just want to mention to the audience, if you've never looked up the Cloward-Piven principle, you need to look it up because it's about where we are.
Folks, we're about running out of time, and I think, Mary, you wanted to put in a couple of announcements before we end.
Yes. On June 20th at the Stanley Hall Ballroom in New Bern, the CCTA public meeting will feature Dr. Andy Jackson. He is the director of the Civitas Center for Public Integrity at the John Locke Foundation, and he is focused on government compliance with the law, best practices, particularly regarding election policy and law. He researches and writes on public and election integrity, conducts election analysis, and presents election-related data. And he will be speaking at 7 o'clock on June 20th at Stanley Hall. He's going to be discussing redistricting, felon disenfranchisement, and other issues, voter ID, and other issues pertaining to elections in North Carolina.
Well, folks, again, thank you for staying with us for this show. Again, it's on the air on 107.1 on Saturdays, 6 a.m., Sundays at 11 a.m., and Sundays at 8 p.m., and then available on cctaxpayers.com.
People who learn to do something well and do it often get very good at it. Dr. Jay Singleton and his staff spend a lot of time removing cataracts, and they are good at it. Dr. Singleton has been doing a high volume of these procedures for 15 years. Let's face it, once we turn 50, the chances are we'll soon need cataract surgery. Fortunately, the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern, and the state-of-the-art Singleton Surgery Center is bringing costs down for patients and participating insurance companies. For dedication, experience, and convenience, you can trust the Singleton team. Dr. Jay Singleton and the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern. For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.